Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The seed of devotional service next fructified in the form of Sri Isharapuri, and then the gardener himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, became the main trunk of the tree of devotional service. Purport. Sri Isharapuri was a resident of Kumarahatta, where there is now a railroad station known as Kamarahatti. Nearby, there is also another station named Halishahar, which belongs to the Eastern Railway that runs from the eastern section of Calcutta. Isharapuri appeared in a Brahmana family and was the most beloved disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri. In the last portion of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 8, verses 26 to 29, it is stated, Ishchara Puri Kare Sri Pada Sevan Sahaste Karen Malo Mutradi Marjan Nirantara Krishnanam Karai Smaran Krishnanam Krishna Lila Sunayanukshang Tustahaya Puri Tare Koilo Alingan Borodila Krishna Tomar Hoyuk Premadan Sei Hoite Ishchara Puri Premero Sagar. At the last stage of his life, Sri Madhavendra Puri became an invalid and was completely unable to move. And Isharapuri so completely engaged himself in his service that he personally cleaned up his stool and urine, always chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and reminding Sri Madhavendra Puri about the pastimes of Lord Krishna in the last stage of his life. Isharapuri gave the best service among his disciples. Thus, Madhavendra Puri, being very pleased with him, blessed him, saying, My dear boy, I can only pray to Krishna that he will be pleased with you. Thus, Isharapuri, by the grace of his spiritual master, Sri Madhavendra Puri, became a great devotee in the ocean of love of Godhead. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti states in Guru Vastakam prayer, Jasya Prasadat, Bhagavat Prasada, Jasya Prasadan Nagati Kutopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one is benedicted by the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. It is by the mercy of the spiritual master that one becomes perfect, as vividly exemplified here. A Vaishnava is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but if he appears to be an invalid, this gives a chance to his disciple to serve him. Isharapuri pleased his spiritual master by service, and by the blessings of his spiritual master, he became such a great personality that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as his spiritual master. Srila Isharapuri was the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but before initiating Lord Chaitanya, he went to Navadvip and lived for a few months in the house of Gopinath Acharya. At that time, Lord Chaitanya became acquainted with him, and it is understood that he served Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by reciting his book Krishna Lilamrita. This is explained in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Lila, 7th chapter. To teach others by example how to be a faithful disciple of one's spiritual master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, visited the birthplace of Isharapuri at Kamarahatti and collected some earth from his birthplace. This he kept very carefully and he used to eat a small portion of it daily. This is stated in the Chaitanya Bhagavat chapter 12. It has now become customary for the devotees following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go there and collect some earth from that place.
मुकाम करति वाचलं पंगुर लंघयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदिनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरं नमो विष्णुवरायः. So yesterday we were discussing about Madhavendra Puri. So today we'll be discussing about Isharapuri. And that's the connection of Guru Parampara. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out the importance of pleasing the spiritual master by his service. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also tells the process of accepting a bona fide spiritual master. He says, Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprasthana sevaya upadakshantita jnanam jnanina tattva darshina. The process begins with the surrender. And Krishna also tells devotional service also begins with the process of surrender. He also says at the end, sarvadharman parityajya mamekam saranam braja. So, surrender to Krishna begins with the surrender to a bona fide representative of Krishna, who is the spiritual master. But this process of surrender is a voluntary activity of a conditioned soul. But unless and until that happens, the spiritual journey does not begin. Because spiritual knowledge is not a transmission of knowledge only. So nowadays you can go to Google and get any information, whatever you want. You don't need a spiritual master for that. So I think Google is the most prominent spiritual master of modern age. Any information. So spiritual life is not the process of getting information. You can study scriptures, you can become erudite scholar, you can become an orator, good speaker, you can present the philosophy, everything can happen. But the spiritual life is not receiving knowledge. Spiritual life means transformation of the heart. So what that transformation will take place only by this process of submissive surrender to a bona fide representative of God. And there we are stuck. Dibyogyan hide prakashita. It's not explained. Dibyogyan braine prakashita. It's not an intellectual endeavor. Therefore, spiritual knowledge or transcendental knowledge is beyond our intellect. So Lord Brahma wanted to know Krishna. And he started doing lot of austerities, studies, this and that. And after doing all this, he said, I have realized. People felt, oh, very happy news, he have realized. Said, what you have realized? That I have realized it's not possible for me to realize Krishna. So that is the beginning of our spiritual journey. This is called humility and surrender. Sometimes disciple takes the spiritual master, and sometimes spiritual master checks the disciple. And sometimes both of them check each other. It's a process. Surrender is a process, it's not a product. So we'll start with our divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada didn't want to go to meet Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. His friend forced him, please come. He's a saintly person. So Prabhupada said, I have seen so many saintly persons. Regularly they come to my house. I am not interested. He said, no, he is not an ordinary saintly person. He is something special. So please come with me. So he went. As soon as he offered obeisances, before he came up, Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur said, you educated young man should take up this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spread this message in English speaking language in the Western world. So he was shocked. Then Srila Prabhupada started giving argument. He said, now India is dependent, is under British rule. So it is the first duty of the Indian to free India. So when India will become independent, then we can start spreading this message. Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that political situations in this world will go on changing. So Krishna consciousness is an emergency thing that cannot wait for any political situations. So in that way Prabhupada is giving argument, and he was defeated by the argument of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. And in the later days, Prabhupada used to be very proud that I was defeated by my spiritual master. That is the glory of a disciple. A disciple feels glorious when he is defeated by his guru. That is the first symptom of surrender. Another example is given of Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur is a very exalted devotee and close associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he appeared after Mahaprabhu's disappearance. He came to Vrindavan and he wanted to take initiation from Lokanath Goswami. So Narottam Das Thakur was an erudite scholar, he was a prince, very aristocratic background he had. But he wanted to take initiation from Lokanath Goswami. So he approached Lokanath Goswami, said, Lokanath Goswami, how can I initiate you? I am totally unqualified. You are from aristocratic background, royal background, you are so educated, so qualified, I am not qualified to initiate you. So he said, no, I have accepted you as my spiritual master, please be merciful on me. But he was not ready to do that. But Narottam Das Thakur, Jai Sri Radha Gokulananda Ji Ki Jai, Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Sri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. But Narottam Das Thakur was determined that he will take initiation from Lokanath Goswami. So what he did? He started doing some menial service without his knowledge. So Lokanath Goswami used to stay in his bhajan kutir, and in Vrindavan there is no toilet facility, so they have to do all the things on the field, respond to the nature's call. So he used to do every day early in the morning, and every day when he goes, he used to see that place is very clean. So he was thinking, who is cleaning? So one day, Lokanath Goswami, in order to check who is doing it, he woke up little early and he was hiding behind the bush and seeing who is cleaning. He saw Narottam, he is cleaning by his own hand the whole place. And when he saw that humble attempt to serve, so his heart got melted. And he said, no, I want to accept him. Then Lokanath Goswami accepted Narottam Das Thakur as his disciple. It also happened in the life of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was also a very scholarly person, very educated, highly qualified, erudite scholar, good speaker. Coming from an aristocratic family, his father was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, please go and take initiation from Gaurakishore Das Babaji. And Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, from material point of view, was illiterate. Cannot read, write anything. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur knew he is a Mahabhagavat, Paramhansa, Vaishnava. So he instructed his son, please go and surrender unto him and take initiation from him. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur approached Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, said, me initiating you? I am an uneducated, illiterate person. You are a very erudite scholar, coming from a so much aristocratic family. How can I initiate you? I am totally unqualified to initiate you. Better go to somebody else. So, no, please. I have decided that you are my spiritual master. Then again he is coming. He said, okay, I'll ask Krishna. If he says, then I'll accept you. So after a few days, again Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came. He said, I forgot to ask Krishna. So then, okay. He was adamant, no, I have to take Then he said, I asked Krishna, but he said no. Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if you don't accept me as your disciple, then what is the use of my life? Better I drown in the Ganges and give up my life. So when he said that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not want to blackmail his spiritual master. He just, whatever he said, he spoke very genuinely. If he said, if you are not accepting me, not giving your shelter, then what is the use of my life? So that is the genuine mood of a disciple. So when Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj saw this sincere attitude of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, okay, go take bath in Jalangi, come here, and I will initiate you. So in that way, Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj accepted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as his disciple. So this is a surrender. And when surrender starts, then spiritual journey begins. Arjuna, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, was giving a lot of arguments. Giving argument is good. But that should have a time frame. How long you can go on arguing? When Arjuna was talking to Krishna, giving his own logic and argument, Krishna never spoke. He was hearing. And after talking so much, Arjuna could realize that whatever he is talking does not make any sense. I am confused. So you are all like that, Arjuna. You give a lot of arguments before the sadhus, but we are confused. Because we are confused, we think everybody is confused. And we like to confuse others. But Krishna was hearing, not talking anything, just hearing. And Arjuna, whole first chapter, at the beginning of second chapter, Arjuna came into realization that whatever I am talking does not make any sense. Then he said, Karpanna dasu upahata sabhava prichyamitang dharma sammuracheta jasya sannishchitang bruhitanme sishasthyahang sadhimang tang prapannam. Then he surrendered. He said, I am accepting you as a spiritual master, I am your disciple, please instruct me. Then when he said that and surrendered himself to Krishna, then Krishna started speaking. And when Guru speaks, most of the time it is heavy. That's why Guru means heavy. Then Krishna told Arjuna that asochang anna sochastang pragya vadang sa bhasache gata suncha ranu sachanti pandita. You are talking like a learned scholar, but you don't know exactly what you are talking, a number one fool. So that is another quality of a disciple. Srila Prabhupada said, a disciple should feel like a fool in front of the spiritual master, but act most intelligently. That is the quality of a disciple. Very contradictory. You should feel like a fool in front of the spiritual master, but act like a most intelligent person. So that is the quality. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also was very proud. Prakashananda Saraswati and all the Mayavadi sannyasis in Banaras, they are telling that you have taken sannyas. Now your duty is to study Vedanta. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my guru told me that I am a fool. I have no right to study Vedanta. And what he told me chant Hare Krishna and also distribute the holy name. That's why I am chanting the holy name. And when I started chanting, I became mad. Kiva mantra dilagosai kiva tar bol jopito jopito mantra hoilo pagal. So I am becoming mad when I am chanting. I cannot control my senses, and whole thing is becoming out of control. Then when I approached my guru, my spiritual master, what's happening? What kind of mantra you have given? He said, good. Good thing happening in here. This kind of symptom is very good. So therefore I am always chanting and dancing. What can I do? So that is the quality of a disciple. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. Because today we will be talking about Ishvara Puri and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, we should feel genuinely in front of the spiritual master that I am a fool. Then transcendental knowledge starts leveling in our heart. So, surrender tadvidri paripatena and sevaya, service. If that two aspects are not there, only asking questions, you cannot understand the spiritual science. Asking questions has to be there, but it should be backed up by two qualities, surrender and service. So those who are exemplary disciples in disciplic succession of Gaudiya Madhva Vaishnav Sampradaya, they exhibited this quality of surrender and service. And not only in this Sampradaya, to touch the heart of the spiritual master, you should develop that menial service attitude, that I am an insignificant servant. So if that is not there, then spiritual knowledge does not flow. You can become erudite scholar. But empowerment of Krishna will come when you become submissive and humble. That is the quality of transcendental knowledge to receive. So why is that? Because transcendental knowledge is mercy of Krishna. So who can receive the mercy? Those who are humble. So rain falls everywhere. But who can hold that water? The place which is low. The mountain, the hills, they cannot hold the water because they are very proud, high. In the same way, mercy of Krishna in the form of transcendental knowledge is available to everyone. It's not that it is available to me, it's not available to you. It's available to everyone. Mercy is available to everyone. But in order to hold that mercy of transcendental knowledge, we have to have the quality of humility. Then you can hold it. Otherwise it will flow, but you cannot hold it. So that is the quality of a disciple, that we can hold that transcendental knowledge when you become humble. And what is the quality of symptom of knowledge? According to Bhagavad Gita, the symptom of knowledge is humility. And what is the symptom of ignorance? Symptom of ignorance is pride, false ego. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gobi hastini suni chaiva sapakecha pandita samadarsena. That is the symptom of knowledge. Pandita. We want to become scholar. So what is the symptom of a scholar? Symptom of a scholar, that Vidya vinaya sampanne. Vinaya means humility. So we have to understand that whether we are receiving knowledge or not, if you are receiving transcendental knowledge, the symptom is that we are becoming humble. And we are becoming equal in vision. We can see everybody equally. Pandita samadarsina. But when you have pride, you see somebody as your friend and somebody as your enemy. So who is my friend? Who helped me in my sense gratification? He is my friend. And who is not helping me in my sense gratification? He is my enemy. But actually no one is enemy, no one is friend. Because our happiness or distress is controlled by our karma. But who can realize that? Those who are in transcendental knowledge. So therefore, equal vision is very, very important. So unless we have that platform, we cannot receive transcendental knowledge. So how humility is the natural quality of a person who is receiving knowledge? Because pride is there when you don't know the reality. So I give the example of a mountain
if you see the mountain from a distance, so mountain looks small from a distance. And we feel also that we are also like mountain. Size of me and size of mountain looks almost same, because mountain is far, far away. You cannot understand the size of the mountain. But when you start walking towards that mountain, when you come closer to the mountain, two things happen in your life to realize. More you come closer to the mountain, you start realizing the how great and big the mountain is. And you start realizing how insignificant I am as compared to the mountain. That is called knowledge. In the same way, Krishna is like a big mountain. And we are the spirit soul, insignificant. But because that insignificant spirit soul is far, far away from that mountain like Krishna, we feel we are also great. We are also like Krishna. Because we don't have any knowledge about Krishna. Because we are far, far away from Krishna. But when we start our spiritual journey and come closer to Krishna, then we start to realize how great Krishna is and how insignificant we are. So how we can understand that we are closer to Krishna or we are far, far away from Krishna? That is the parameter. That is the symptom. Then we can understand the greatness of Krishna and his pure devotees, and we can start realizing how insignificant we are. And that is the symptom of advancement in Krishna consciousness. And that is the journey of surrender. It's not a philosophical thing. It's a science. So to become humble is the science of surrender. Because surrender reveals you the greatness of the great personalities like Krishna and his pure devotees. And the surrender makes us realize that how insignificant we are. Srimati Radharani is closest to Krishna. That's why she feels she is the most insignificant. Why? That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. It's not a drama Radharani is doing. It's a natural feeling of a person who is very, very close to Krishna. Why Radharani is thinking that I am not a devotee at all? That is the quality of Uttam Adhikari. Uttam Adhikari bhaktas, they think everybody is a devotee, I am not a devotee. But they are not doing drama out of that. It's a natural qualification of a devotee who is close to Krishna. So Radharani is thinking she is the most insignificant servant. Why? Because she is the closest to Krishna. That is the quality. That is the beauty of the spiritual world. But the so-called knowledge of this material world makes you proud. I have this degree. PhD, that degree, so many in India. You have visiting card. How many designations you have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I was hearing there was a synthesis of science and religion. Conference was going on in Calcutta in 1996, beginning of 1997. So all the scientists gathered. So one person also came. Everybody has to be PhD now. It's a conference of the PhDs. Somehow or other, one person came with a visiting card. So it's written PhDF. Something is very new. We already heard about PhD. What is PhDF? Then somebody asked, what is that? He said, PhD but fail. So we have to have some degree. So we feel very proud. So I have this degree, I am PhD. The so-called knowledge of degree of this material world makes you proud. And that shows that is not knowledge. That is ignorance. So what is knowledge? According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, knowledge is knowing Krishna. If you get a degree, that helps you to understand Krishna, that is knowledge. But practically, if you see so-called knowledge and degree of this world, keeps you away from Krishna. The Sri Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, Jara Vidya Maya Vaibhav. And he said that so-called knowledge of this material world makes you a donkey. Jeevke korai gadha. Very, very blunt statement, but you have to understand the spirit of this statement. Who becomes a donkey who does not know Krishna? That is called ignorance. And knowledge means those who know Krishna. So if any degree or any scholarship is good, if it helps you to understand Krishna, if it helps you to come closer to Krishna, that is knowledge. And what is the other symptom of knowledge? If it makes you humble. That is a symptom of knowledge. Then it's good. More degree, more humility, no problem. But more degree, more pride, problem. So therefore, this is very, very important to approach a bona fide spiritual master, because that keeps us in the state of humility. Why guru is important? Because of that. Because the presence of a guru makes a disciple humble. So association has three aspects. We should associate with the superiors, we should associate with the equals, and we should also associate with nobody's junior, but still those who are new. And if you only associate with those who are junior to you, and you think you are superior, what happens? You look downward. Because I am big, so he is small. So when you start thinking everybody is small, that is the gradual process of fall down. And what is the gradual process of upliftment in Krishna consciousness? When you see everybody is above you. Because you are seeing everybody is up. So that is the gradual process of upliftment in Krishna consciousness. So who fall down from the process of devotional service when they start thinking that he is great? That is the beginning of fall down. So Krishna consciousness is a beautiful science by which we can remain humble at every stage in life. More you become advanced, more you feel you are more insignificant. One day Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and Prabhupada was talking about first class man, second class man, third class man. Then fourth class, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, all this. Then somebody asked, which class are you in? He said, I am fifth class. Why? Because I am the servant of all the classes. That is called humility. And once one Swami from South India, Swami Atmananda, he came during Prabhupada's time to participate in temple program. And that time Srila Prabhupada's Guru Puja was going on. And Srila Prabhupada was physically present during that Guru Puja. And Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati Sadma, that song was going on. All the devotees are chanting, dancing in front of Prabhupada, jumping. This is very natural, very happy, joyful. All are chanting, dancing. But this Swami Atmananda, he saw Srila Prabhupada is also chanting Sri Guru Charana Padma. Then he got confused. So Loknath Swami Maharaj was there. So he approached. Said, what kind of guru you have? He is doing his own puja. He is worshipping himself. So then Loknath Maharaj gave an explanation. He said, it's not he is doing his own puja. Disciples are offering guru puja to him. But he is not accepting that guru puja. He is transferring that guru puja to his guru. That's why he is also chanting Sri Guru Charana Padma. That is the qualification of a guru. Transparent via media. Because every puja goes to Krishna. So who can become qualified?
to become a spiritual master when he has the quality to accept that puja on behalf of Krishna transferred to his guru. Then he is qualified to be a representative of Guru Parampara, because all the puja should go to Krishna. So that is the qualification of a guru. He does not take puja. He does not take worship. He becomes a transparent via media to accept the puja on behalf of Krishna. That is the qualification of a guru. So therefore, any service to guru is not service to guru. It's service to Krishna. That's why, if guru is pleased, then service will reach to Krishna. Just so prasadat bhagavat is a science also. Because Krishna has made a system, he does not take any puja directly. And he said, who claims that he is my devotee is not my devotee, but who thinks he is a devotee of my devotee is my devotee. Because that is the process. Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Das Dasanudas, that same mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is exhibited by menial service. And service attracts the attention of guru. And what kind of service? Which is very unusual. Sincere desire to do something wonderful for guru. That catches the attention. So I'll tell a story from South India, Sri Sampradaya, Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya has two disciples. One disciple name was Jagyesh, and another disciple name was Bharadacharya. Jagyesh was from a very aristocratic background, very rich, very opulent. So Ramanujacharya was traveling from Srirangam to Tirupati. That time no vehicle, so everybody used to walk. So he was on a tour, so he has to stay some places. She wanted to stay in the house of Jagyesh. So he sent two of his disciples to inform that to Jagyesh. So as soon as these two disciples reached his house, informed that our Guru Maharaj, Sripad Ramanujacharya is going to stay tonight in your house. So he became jubilant, very happy. He started making all the arrangements. For prasadam, for staying, setting up tent, setting up for prasadam arrangement, everything was very busy. Then these two disciples came back and Sripad Ramanujacharya said, how was it? He said, your disciple Jagyesh was so happy and jubilant, as soon as he heard you are coming, he started making all the arrangements. So Sripad Ramanujacharya was not so interested to hear that. He said, how did they treat you? Then they revealed, because they cannot tell lies to his guru, to their guru. He said, because he was so jubilant and happy, he did not consider that we have come. He did not offer any place to sit down. He did not receive us, did not give any water to offer. Then as soon as Sripad Ramanujacharya heard that, he became furious in anger. He said, I don't want to stay in his house. Let us go stay in the house of Bharadacharya. So Bharadacharya was a poor brahmana, very poor. And he had a wife, her name was Lakshmi, very chaste and beautiful wife. And they used to survive on begging. Every day, Bharadwaj used to go and bake, and whatever was available, they used to cook and eat. So that day, suddenly without any notice, Ramanujacharya approached and reached there. And she opened the door and saw her guru. The famous is not an ordinary guru, Ramanujacharya, the Acharya of the Sri Sampradaya, with his leading disciples, a group, entourage, has come. So she got bewildered, what to do? She received them, received her guru, and now she wanted to give nice prasad, lunch time. So she entered into her kitchen and saw nothing is there. How it can be, how there will be anything? Poor Brahmana, nothing is there. So she felt very bad. So Gurudev has come with his leading disciples. I am such a unqualified lady, I don't have anything to offer to my guru. She was thinking what to do. She was very morose. And she told her guru, Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, you take bath, and all the disciples also should take bath. In the meantime, I will prepare lunch. Then you can take prasad. So what she will cook? But in that locality, there was a rich man, rich businessman. And that rich businessman was so attracted to Lakshmi. And he wanted to seduce her so many times. Offered her, I will give everything. Please allow me to enjoy you. No poverty will be there. But she was a chaste lady. She always refused him. So today, what she did, she took the back door and went to his house. And she said, I'll fulfill your desire tonight. But you have to help me. He said, what can I do for you? He said, my Guru Maharaj has come and I have nothing to cook for him. So please provide all the bhogas, all the ingredients, so that I can give a nice lunch prasadam to my guru and his group. So it's no problem, you go back, I'll supply everything. He was so happy, because he was waiting for years. So he supplied everything. So she cooked nice lunch, nice prasad, nice feast. So Ramanujacharya and all his disciples were ready. Nice prasadam, beautiful feast. They started serving. So everyone was sitting and taking that nice feast. In the meantime, her husband came back with flat rice in his bag. That was, he begged today. And as soon as he entered in his house, he saw his Guru Maharaj and his leading disciple Kures and all this Dasarathi, all leading disciples are with Ramanujacharya taking wonderful feast. And he saw his wife is serving. So then he approached his wife, what's going on? How could you prepare such a nice feast? Then she put her head down and revealed the truth, that what she did. And she told the whole story to her husband. And when husband Bharadacharya heard this story, what his wife did, he became extremely joyful in his heart, that you are a real disciple of my Guru Maharaj. So he was jubilant seeing the commitment of her. So then lunch was over. Then both of them approached Ramanujacharya. And she revealed the whole thing, what she did. So Ramanujacharya said, don't worry, you take prasad now. So Ramanujacharya fed them nice prasad. He said, in the evening, both of you go. And this is my remnants, give it to him. So in the evening, both of them went to that person. As soon as he saw her, because her husband was waiting outside of the room, and she entered into the inner chamber of that person. As soon as he saw her, now is the time. So he said, before you enjoy me, my Guru Maharaj has sent some Mahaprasad for you. So, he started taking that Mahaprasad. So as soon as he started taking Mahaprasad, by the mercy of Ramanujacharya, and by the power of the chastity of Lakshmi, his heart started changing. As soon as meal was over, he started seeing Lakshmi not as the object of enjoyment. He started looking at her, his own mother. He said, said, please forgive me. What kind of mentality and attitude I have? I wanted to enjoy you. Please forgive me. Such a wretched person I am. Please forgive me for that. I will serve you without any condition. Whatever your Guru Maharaj needs, I will supply everything. Then Lakshmi said to him that my Guru Maharaj wants to see you. So that person came to Ramanujacharya and immediately surrendered his life at the lotus feet of Ramanujacharya. That is the potency of unflinching faith and devotion to the spiritual master, and that is the power of chastity of a disciple. In that way, Lakshmi has established the highest principle of devotional service to Guru. We should not try to imitate that, but we should learn what is the meaning to give life for Guru. And that is the glory of a disciple. The glory of a disciple, when he is ready or she is ready to give everything for the service of the spiritual master. And when we are ready for that, then Krishna reveals. And that is the secret of our Krishna consciousness. When someone is ready to offer everything for the service of the spiritual master, then Krishna reveals himself. And that is the science of devotional service. And why Ishvara Puripad was endowed with love of God? Because Ishvara Puri rendered menial service and touched the heart. Because the relationship between a disciple and guru is nothing external. It's the relationship between heart to heart. So Ishvara Puri could touch the heart of his guru. And how we can touch the heart of a guru? When the desire of guru and desire of you becomes one. It means when you don't have any separate desire than the desire of your spiritual master. It becomes one. That oneness is the time when Krishna reveals. So Ishvara Puri understood the heart of his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, and he touched the heart by rendering that kind of devotional service. And when he touched the heart of Madhavendra Puri, Krishna was revealed in the heart of Ishvara Puri. And he was endowed with unlimited spiritual potency. And to appreciate that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, accepted Ishvara Puri as his spiritual master. So that is the potency of rendering unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service to the spiritual master. Krishna is revealed. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ishvara Puripada ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Gaur Premanande. Any question or comment?